The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with Gabe Neitzel. And as our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. How's this going for you so far? Like, you're always driving the, you know, you're driving the bus when you're doing your various shows. What's it like to ride shotgun? And am I annoying you with my talking over you and interrupting the way Tausch does to me?
No, first of all, not even a little bit, not annoying at all. This is great because you just get to kind of sit back and react. Like, man, I can have takes. I can have takes on anything. Throw anything my way. I'll tell you what I think. I got no problem with that. This is great. Nice. I'm having a good time.
Nice. Perfect. All right. Well, let's throw some texts at you and get your thoughts on some of those. Jesse, what do you have on the Madison portion of the Carbless talking text line?
I got our camera screwed up here. I'll fix this for the next one. But in the meantime, Stephen Lincoln texts in. I think Devontae was headed to the Rams as soon as the Rams said Cooper Kupp was gone. Goody got ripped for lowballing Jordy Nelson. We just talked about that. My perception from Stephen Lincoln is Goody knew the price Devontae was likely getting and just passed. I'm in favor of kicking the tires on Cooper Kupp at a reasonable price. Half of what Devontae got? Love the show. Stephen Lincoln.
All right, so first of all, very fair to say that Goody thought, well, he's going to get more than I'm willing to pay for him, and maybe that's part of his reasoning. I don't have a problem with that reasoning. I can tell you that he was not dead set on just going to the Rams the moment that Cooper Kupp got the news that he was being released and Devontae knew that he was being released. I can tell you that he had an open mind about his options. Now, might he have wound up in L.A. anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much so. Especially when you think about, you know, pairing him with Puka Nacua and where the Rams are at and everything else that they have to sell. And the idea that it's in it's in California. It's on the West Coast. But his mind was not made up. That's all I can say. It was not L.A. or bust for him, for sure. But the point about maybe Goody knew it was going to be too rich for his blood. Maybe that's true. I don't think that. I just don't believe that's it, though. Because don't you still make the call just in case?
Yeah,
just in case he doesn't get that money?
Yeah. I think reaching out wouldn't have been a bad thing, but I think he made up his mind based off of something else. And, I mean, maybe he was assuming that he's getting too much money. But again, in a post-Luka Doncic got traded world, and I understand that's a different sport. But once Luka gets traded, anything is possible. You just make calls. All right? You make calls just to double check and make sure. All right? That's all I'm asking. You double check and make sure because you never know what the other person might say on the other end of the line. Sometimes you end up with Luka Doncic. Sometimes you end up with a no. But at least go and get the no before you just start making assumptions over what somebody is going to make. I have a text here on the Carbless Talking text line on the Milwaukee side of things from Todd saying, good grief. What is the statute of limitations on whining about the Packers not signing a 32-year-old receiver for $23 million per year? Pre-free agency, all ESPN was on a receiver who could stretch the field. FYI, that's not Adams. In fairness, Todd, I believe we were all also in on Devontae Adams, and even though he doesn't, we just covered this, even though he doesn't stretch the field the way that a DK Metcalf does, he still draws attention from the defense, which can help the other receivers as well. So you don't have to just be a stretch-the-field type of guy to put stress on the other team's defense.
Yeah. Todd. Here's what I would say. I understand we're using Devontae as the example. If you'd prefer, let's make Trey Hendrickson a free agent.
Okay.
Okay? If you're going to characterize what we're doing as whining, then let's use a different player that is 30 years old, that we don't have any connection to. He's not a former Packer. I don't want this to be about Devontae. Devontae is just the prime example. Use Cooper Kupp if you want for when he doesn't get signed by the Packers. But Cooper Kupp has been injured. The reason why we're using Devontae is not because, oh, we all want Devontae here. That ship has sailed. But the question is an overarching question about 30-something players. And if you're not interested in Devontae, as Gabe just said, then I'm not sure you're interested in anybody who celebrated their 30th birthday other than Brandon McManus.
Okay, so if we use the Trey Hendrickson example, Would Goody actually be more interested if he was indeed a free agent? Because I think part of the Hendrickson problem is giving up the draft compensation plus spending the money. And I feel like Goody would be okay spending the money, but maybe I'm wrong because he is older, plus spending the draft pick. Because, again, on those guys, he has said, you have to be right. And even though Hendrickson has led the league in sacks the last 2 years and has been really good, I don't know if you would be 100% right. Like, the only guy I would have felt really comfortable being 100% right on of all the guys we talked about this offseason would have been Myles Garrett, who was never actually made available despite asking for a trade.
Right, right.
And as good as Hendrickson has been, I don't think that you would be, you would say with 100% certainty, yeah, this guy is still going to be really good. It's very possible that the last 2 years he played are the best 2 years he has in his career.
Yeah. I keep bringing up this story, and if you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, I think you can still do gifts stories, so I think I might post this from the Wilde and Tausch account. There's a really good piece by Paul Daner, who covers the Bengals, discussing the rarity that it is for a 30-plus pass rusher to be still super productive. And the exception to this point has been Khalil Mack. And is Trey Hendrickson going to be the next exception? I don't know. But I think you can make the argument, and I think Goody might make it with you, Gabe, that you just saw his two best seasons. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Khalil Mack had, what, 6 sacks last season? I think he had 40-some pressures, which is still a pretty big number, by the way.
Yes.
Even if he didn't have the sack numbers. So maybe he is like the new Julius Peppers, who he's just ageless.
And what my hope around Hendrickson would be that his game isn't all predicated on speed and bend.
Right.
And because it's great more strength built, that he could age a little bit better into 30 the way somebody like, just using a Packers example, Clay Matthews. Like, and Clay had plenty of strength, but he was built on speed and being able to have that bend and get around the edge. And I think that maybe Hendrickson could age a little bit better because he's more of a strength type of bully in his pass rush.
All right, I can see we're getting some more calls, so keep those coming. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We will get to more of your calls and your texts as we have this conversation about 30-something players, not Davante Adams specifically. And if you have someone else that moved teams in free agency that you would like to have seen the Packers go after age 30, bring them up. We're open to that too. But otherwise, we'll just continue whining about Davante Adams. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
The calls continue, 844-770-3776, and we'll get to your texts as well. Let's go out to Tosa and talk to Jason, whose parents chose a great name. Jason, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jacob. I mean, Jason.
Well done. Well played. Well played. Yes.
All right, so Jason, I've called you recently about the wide receiver position.
You've been on let me just say, you've been on a really good run lately.
I mean, there's been a week's developments. I called you last Friday on the way to work, and you know, I look at the Packers last year. They finished 0-6 against Philly, Detroit, and Minnesota, and I'm not going to rehash the players on those teams. But the Rams went further in the playoffs than the Packers. They certainly improved going from Cooper Kupp, who's past his prime, to Davante, who's older but still better. Washington went further in the playoffs. They already had Terry McLaurin. They added Deebo Samuel. The Buccaneers went as far in the playoffs. They re-signed Chris Godwin. They still have Mike Evans. I look at the NFC, Dallas has a better wide receiver room. The Giants have a better wide receiver room, given their rookie sensation last year. Seattle has a better room. Arizona, the Bears. I mean, is there a team, considering that Christian Watson's not going to play until likely November, and a speed player like that, it takes a year to come back. We all know that. This is the worst wide receiver room possibly in the NFC. I don't understand what the thought process here is, whether it's an over 30 wide receiver or under. And we're just going to – and I was told when they didn't draft a wide receiver when Aaron Rodgers was winning his MVPs under Goody. Oh, a rookie wide receiver never does anything anyways. What is the plan? That room is – I mean, I know everyone loves Dontavian Wicks. He's a fifth-round pick with below-average hands at this point. Romeo Doubs is a mediocre – he's a decent wide receiver at his peak. He also quit on the team last year and has concussion issues. And Jaden Reed, I like him as a slot receiver. I think the secret's kind of out that if you're going to play man-to-man, you can take him out. He needs help to get open. The wide receiver room is a disaster. It's kind of been a disaster, Jason, for the now going on 8 years that Goody's been in charge. I don't know what his thought process is. I thought it was he didn't like Aaron Rodgers and wasn't going to add talent. I can't imagine he doesn't like Jordan Love, his own draft pick. But that wide receiver group, I mean, tell me I'm wrong. I'll hang up and you tell me where the Packers are better than, I mean, Philly, Detroit, Minnesota. It's scary, the gap.
Yeah.
The Rams,
no, you're not wrong. And thanks for the call, Joshua. I'm trying to figure out a J word to go there. Jeffrey with a G. I always wanted to be Jeffrey with a G. No, Jason, I think Jason brings up fair points. Now, what I would say as the counter to him is I think they're going to be a tight end driven offense. I think that's what's going to happen. I do. And they love Tucker Kraft. They love everything about him. I think they believe, you know, if we're going to say what we just said, and I have a hard time pushing back other than I believe in the potential still of Jaden Reed and the potential still of Dontavian Wicks. But if we're going to push back on those guys, then you're going to have to push back when I say the next thing, which is I still believe that Luke Musgrave can be a good player. But
well, and he was for half a season, three quarters of a season. I mean, his biggest issue was staying on his own 2 feet after he caught the football. But how many times during his rookie season did we see him? And he was the only player on the screen, Jason. Like, he had the most yards of separation. I think it was the Cowboys playoff game where he caught a pass after he had come back from the lacerated kidney, where you're going, oh. And then the ankle slows him down, and he's very much a speed guy. But you put those two together, and you become kind of this two tight end offense. Yes, the wide receivers are still important, but if you run your offense through the tight ends, it becomes less important. I guess I would push back on Jason's point, not yours, but the Jason the caller's point, of it's been a disaster for the last 8 years. I mean, it was fine when Devontae was there. And I will say that I was completely okay with what their plan was a year ago. After seeing the way things had developed in 2023, hey, we've got four guys we like. Let's see if one of these guys develops. Nobody did. And then you now have to try to do something to address that situation, to address that position, especially with no Christian Watson. But also part of the problem was this free agent wide receiver class stunk. Wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And for the prices that guys went, apparently Goody... I still stand by, I believe Goody's going to take a wide receiver in one of the first three rounds. First 2 days, the Packers are walking away with a wide receiver. If they don't, I will be shocked because they weren't able to get one in free agency.
And the disaster really struck in 2022 when you trade away Devontae on St. Patrick's Day / Sidney Wilde's birthday. While I'm at a soccer game indoors, and suddenly now I'm writing a story on my phone about them trading him. Because then your number one wide receiver becomes Alan Lazard.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt LaFleur and I both really like Alan Lazard. The goon as a term of affection, love it. You know what I don't love him as? Your number one wide receiver. That was a disaster. That look, you could criticize Rodgers all you want for how he played that year. You can make excuses or not, if you choose to, about the guy breaking his thumb. It's one of my pet peeves. Brett Favre plays with a broken thumb. He's the ultimate Iron Man. Rodgers plays with a broken thumb, and it's, boy, he's really inaccurate. What the hell's wrong with him? But that season was sunk. It was, for being honest. And they still almost made the playoffs, by the way. And if they'd have won at home against the Lions, who had nothing to play for on the last day of the season, they would have still made the playoffs in spite of having Alan Lazard as their number one wide receiver. So that's a disaster.
Yes.
You could argue, though, that Davante Adams prevented it from being a disaster solely by being the best wide receiver in football. Because you can look at Goody's first draft, and when Jamon Moore, I always think fondly of the Jamon Moore era in Green Bay.
All 2 years?
Yeah. Jamon Moore, MVS, EQ, Amari Rodgers. I mean, the track record on wide receivers going into Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks. Not great, Bob / Goody, in fairness.
Ryan asks this question on the Carvelous Talk at text line.
God, does I love having access to that text line.
Does Goody survive as GM if the Packers don't make the playoffs? In my opinion, Minnesota, Detroit, and Chicago have passed Green Bay.
I don't think he's in danger of losing his job if they don't make the playoffs this year.
The seat becomes hot if they miss the playoffs.
That I agree
then the
with.
Pressure is on in 2026. But I don't think. I mean, the only way, in my opinion, the only way they win like 3 or 4 games is if they have massive injuries. And that would provide the excuse of, you know, okay, you know, you only had 3 or 4 wins. Well, it's because of all these injuries, so Goody wouldn't be on that hot seat. And unless they're completely healthy and only win 4 games, that would be the only way Goody would be anywhere near a hot seat at the end of the season to me.
Which we agree is not happening.
Correct. And oh, by the way, I don't see Minnesota, like, if anything, I think the Packers have passed Minnesota. Like, Minnesota moved on from a quarterback. Granted, it was a career year, and maybe it was the right decision. But do we think that J.J. McCarthy, in his first year as an NFL starter, coming off of a major injury that required a couple of surgeries, is going to throw for 4,000 yards with 35 touchdowns and 12 picks?
No, but Aaron Rodgers might. Hey!
Oh,
snap!
We'll have to. We'll wait and see on that one. All right.
I mean, he's too busy. He's too busy walking around a beach with a blanket on him, Jason.
Did I miss that? Was that was
you haven't seen those pictures?
Why
you haven't seen those pictures?
I don't really, unless I'm corresponding with him. I haven't been on Insta. I haven't been checking things out. Where is he walking around with his blanket like Bodie in Point Break?
I mean, presumably, I assumed it was behind his house in Malibu. I mean, I guess I don't know that house is on the beach. I just assumed if it's a $32 million house, it's on the beach.
I think it is.
That was a leap that I made.
I think it is, and I think last time I corresponded with him about that, it had gotten a lot of wind damage, but it not started on fire during those fires. But yeah, that's a hat on backwards.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So clearly Colin Cowherd doesn't think he's a leader. So, you know, take that as you will.
I don't like the hat backwards when it's a snapback. Where is your policy on backwards hats?
I don't have a policy on backwards hats. If you want to wear your hat backwards, it's fine. I don't have an issue if it's a snapback and you want to wear it backwards.
Okay.
That's a personal choice.
Weren't you just saying you got takes on everything, give us anything, and now the first thing we ask, I don't really have an opinion on that.
No, I don't have a policy on it. Like, you know, if
you
want to wear
your hat backwards?
Not very often. Like, typically if I do, I'm walking around my house by myself because I feel like I'm too old to have my hat backwards.
What does that make me when I do it then?
But do you do it out? Do you do it in public?
I have, yeah. I'm a former catcher, remember?
Oh, that's true.
But for instance, like my Rotz Hots hat, I love that because it's one of those stretchy, semi-fitted hats.
Sure.
And it's got the it's closed in on the back, so when you wear it backwards, you don't have like the big wide opening showing off my receding hairline before the hat starts.
See, so I think that's the issue, Jason, because you and me both have that little receding hairline thing going. So maybe that's why I don't do it. But if you've got a full head of hair, yeah, go ahead. Wear the hat backwards. Who cares?
I don't think I've ever seen Tausch go backwards hat. He's always forward facing. And he's always wearing a hat. I haven't seen him not wearing a hat since. I mean, he even wore it in our new Pella commercial.
I was about to say, did he wear it during the Pella commercial?
Oh, yeah. Last time
not
I saw
negotiable,
him without a hat.
Not taking the hat off.
Yeah, no. I mean, there's. I think it might have been a Pella hat, but nevertheless, like, I don't think since he went into the Packers Hall of Fame, I've seen him without a hat on. He is all hat. All the time. By the way, great picture of that woman who got engaged at the Bucks game with him, not to him. But the fiance has the hat on backwards with the strap. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not a fan. Got to be closed off. All right. We got calls on hold while we're talking about hats. I want to get to those. I want to get to more texts. This is, I'm always interested in where our fans are at. And so this, to me, has been a really interesting exercise. I also want to get to a few of the YouTube comments, because there's some that are really worthwhile as well. That's all still ahead. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Take my heart.
Go back to the phones. And as much as I love John Wesley, he doesn't get a fast pass. Sorry, Wes. Let's go to John in Milwaukee first. John, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch with Gabe Neitzel. I'm good, John. How are you?
All right. So I'm good. So I have a fill-in-the-blank for you. We've heard Goody say this a million times, and I'm just trying to get people, our fans, to understand he's not going to change, and nor should he. This is a blank man's game. Fill-in-the-blank.
Young. Young man's game.
Young. Oh, 100 times. He's not like Ted. He'll tell you what he's thinking. Look at his last quote. He couldn't even put the water bottle down fast enough. You better be right. You better get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proceeded to say, I'm paraphrasing, but it's close enough, not only are you giving up picks, which Goody will never do, you're giving up picks for an old guy. And if you really pay attention to the NFL, old guys get old. He's right about it's the young man's game. And when they get old, it happens quick and it's over. Kenny
Clark.
Yeah,
but John,
it just happens.
John, we agree. You and Gabe and me and Goody, we all agree. We're not saying that they should be an old team. We're saying that once or twice, especially when you have challenged your team publicly to ramp up its urgency, and you have publicly said it's time for this team to start competing for championships. What would be wrong in your mind, John, with a one-player or two-player exception? I'm not saying 10 players. I'm saying two or even one. What would be wrong with that? You're still a young team.
I know, but here's what I would tell you, that, and most people are going to disagree with me, and that's fine, but I would rather see Devontae Wicks play than Davante Adams, because Adams is old. And he's old. Goody didn't want him 3 years ago. I'm not saying Goody's right. Time will play out. And Goody would say, I want to see what we have there, because Davante Adams wasn't good in his second year. Neither was Jordy. They all dropped passes. He thinks that his picks are good. He thinks they're going to perform better. And he thinks that he's got basically a whole other draft class coming back. Hopper didn't play. Morgan didn't play. Lloyd didn't play. Musgrave hasn't played. He thinks that Carver's not as bare as us fans think. So we'll see if he's right. I don't want Trey Hendrickson. I don't want him for $35 million and draft picks. Do I want Devontae? Yeah, I love Devontae. I wish he'd have never left, but he's old. And at some point, he's going to be Cooper Kupp. He's just going to break down. And I don't want to give those guys $23 million a year. You only have so much money.
Eh.
And the one thing I respect about him, and again, I don't know if he's right, Jason, and I'm not saying you guys aren't. I'm just saying that he has a plan, and he's going to stick to his philosophy and plan. And people who think, well, like the Bears, they're doing so much more than the Vikings, The Vikings hired a bunch of 32-year-old guys in their offensive line or defensive line. I don't want those 32-year-olds. And the Bears, they have no plan. Every year is willy-nilly, trade this pick, bring in this guy, do this, do that. They don't have a plan. I respect that he has a plan. Is it going to be right? I don't know. So to answer, I don't know if I answered your question, but there wouldn't be anything wrong with it, but he's just not going to do it. He's not going to. It's not how he rolls. He hates old people. And in his mind, 30 is 100.
An ageist.
Just the, he's not the really, change. He tells really, you what he's thinking.
The way you hit hate there, I just you the delivery was perfect. The delivery was perfect on that. Hates old
like,
people.
He doesn't like when – and he got burned. He did it twice, and he's never going to do it again. Mark my words. He did it with Bakhtiari. He got burned. He did it with Kenny Clark. He got burned. He's allergic to third contracts, too. The two guys he signed in free agency, Jason, are exactly his MO.
Agreed.
Just watch
Agreed.
And listen to what the man says.
Yeah.
So 4 years ago, he got the Smith brothers, ascending player, second contract. He got Turner, ascending player, second contract. Amos, same thing. Last year, McKinney and Jacobs, ascending players, second contract. This year, same thing, the two guys he got. That's his MO. Ascending player, second contracts. I'll pay more for those players. I don't like old players. He doesn't think you can win with old players. He thinks eventually they break, and now he's never going to give anybody a third contract, which is really going to get Packer fans mad.
Right, and that's why, and thanks for the call, John, that is why the Elgton Jenkins question is so fascinating to me. Will he make an exception there? Elgton Jenkins is 29 years old. He's got 2 years left on his deal.
This is other than quarterback, right? Because Jordan Love's going to get a third contract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess technically he's already gotten a third contract. But you know what I mean. Like the contract that takes him past his 30s, right?
Yeah.
Like I think if Jordan Love continues to play the way we think he can play, he's going to get another contract. So it's obviously other than that specific position and kicker and all those sorts of things. But I understand, okay, if that's his philosophy, man, look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl. They've got veteran players. Yeah, they're young teams. They've got young players. They've got young ascending players. Take a look at what the Philadelphia Eagles have. Certainly young ascending players. Had some old guys on there too. When they won the Super Bowl, they had Jason Kelce, who was, you know, 2 years ago, or they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, they had Jason Kelce, who was obviously an older player. They replaced him this year, they end up winning it, but that's not the biggest reason why. They still have other veteran players up and down that roster.
Lane Johnson is 34.
Yep. They've got experience, they've got older players mixed in. And it's not a completely old roster. But you've got a couple of those mixed in, and I think you need to have a couple of those veterans mixed in. Part of the reason why the Packers were so good at wide receiver, I believe, is because they continuously backfilled position. They had the veteran to show the way, and then that by the time somebody was ready to take over, they could be that veteran to show the way for the next guy that was coming through. And again, it goes all the way back to Donald Driver, and then you add Greg Jennings, and then it's Jordy Nelson, and then it's Randall Cobb, then it's Davante Adams. Like, you had that lineage, and yeah, you moved on from Jordy when he was a little bit older. Same thing with Davante, but by the time you got to Davante, there was no backfilling. There was nothing there. And part of the issue at that position is not just you don't have a receiver for this year. What the hell are you going to do at that position in 26? You're giving Dobbs a contract extension? You're giving Christian Watson a contract extension, having no idea what he's going to be coming off of an ACL? And then now, then if you don't, now you're just left with two, which is why, again, I think they're going to have early assets in the draft that are going to be committed to the wide receiver position.
I think what happens is that they, even though it sucks for him, I think they get Christian Watson back at the end of the year. They see reason to feel encouraged about his recovery, and they get him on a one-year deal. Kind of like, remember when they did that with Tonyan coming off an ACL? Now, Tonyan never recovered. I think I saw he signed with the Chiefs last week. But he's a guy that... I'm really eager to see what happens with Watson, but I think they probably get him back on a below-market one-year prove-it deal with a bunch of incentives, and then they can pay him if he comes back in 26 and plays well. I think Romeo Dobbs is going to walk after this season. I just don't think that they can confidently know what to expect from him, and I think that's how that plays out. But he look. he can make himself some really good money this season, whether it's from the Packers or from someone else, by playing really well and just putting his head down and playing well. Because last season, he created issues. He created questions about him with how he handled things early in the year, and then through no fault of his own, even trying to wear a Guardian cap. But the two concussions would give me pause. It just would. And if that's unfair of me, fine. But when guys start to have multiple concussions, that's when I start to worry, especially given how he looked walking off the field in Philly. That made me uncomfortable. That made me concerned. All right. I want to get to more of the phone calls. So, Wes, stay there. We'll get to you, and we'll get to Josh and Kenosha coming up next. Gabe Neitzel is in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wildy and Tausch.
NBA Sunday on ESPN Radio.
One-handed jam! Donovan Mitchell!
Donald Banchero and the Orlando Magic head to Cleveland to go head-to-head with Donovan Mitchell and the top-seeded Cavaliers. Sunday on 100.5 ESPN.
Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait.
As if on cue. News from Ian Rappaport. The Vikings have agreed to terms with veteran linebacker Eric Wilson, who started 12 games last year for the Packers but began his career in Minnesota. Eric Wilson is 30 years, 169 days old.
I mean, that writing was on the wall after they signed McDuffie, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. But they carried him, and they carried both of their rookie draft picks at the position. I'm sure they expect Tyron Hopper to make a jump, but this is exactly what we're talking about here. You can't tell me that Eric Wilson on special teams and as a spot star, you saw how he played last year. If you're going to tell me that he can't help the 2025 Packers, I'm going to say, like Ron Burgundy, I don't believe you. But they want Tyron Hopper now to get those snaps. Whether that's the right or wrong decision, that's young man's game in a nutshell right there. Because he could still help you. Clearly the Vikings think he can help them. But the Vikings have signed a lot of guys that are north of their 30th birthday. All right, let's get to a couple more calls. But that kind of helps prove the point right there. Let's go to my buddy Wes, John Wesley. Wes, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm sorry we're not talking enough Bucks for you, especially with one of the voices of Bucks basketball on the program today.
Oh, big win last night. Fun win last night.
Yes, good win last night. Yes, very fun. Now we got another big one tomorrow. You know, just a couple of things with the Packers that kind of frustrate me. You know, the whole draft and develop thing, I mean, it's, you know, that's completely fine if that's his MO, but I have an issue with that being the MO, and like you and Tausch said yesterday, but when you are drafting these guys and a good portion of them either don't get to another contract or really don't make an impact on the team, I think that's an issue. And then the second thing is, you know, if you look back at last year, what was better for the Packers, their offensive line or their defensive line?
Offensive line.
So since the offensive line was better, but yet they went and they signed a guy to come to go onto the offensive line, and they've still got, you know, they still got the same, actually minus one guy on the defensive line. They're still going to have those issues. And then you think about it, what was better last year, the wide receiver group or the defensive backfield?
Defensive backfield.
Right.
No,
backfield. And so,
yeah, defensive. Okay, if it's the entire defensive backfield, yes defensive
we're including
backfield.
The
if
safeties.
If it's just the corners, that becomes a much more interesting conversation.
Right.
That's fair.
Sure, yeah, but as a group, it was the defensive backfield. So then what do? They're not addressing the wide receiver group, but they go and they sign a guy that's basically probably going to be a slot or a nickel cornerback.
I would push back, though, Wes. Like, that's what the free agent market had. Like, the free agent market had some depth at the offensive line. The free agent market had some depth specifically at cornerback. So it's not like, yes,
sure,
it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate the Packers' biggest needs didn't match up to what this year's free agent class was.
But I think the point is there are guys that are out. There are defensive line guys that are out there that the Packers could have taking a feeler on. I mean, I think about it, the Packers have legitimately three legitimate NFL starters on defense. They've got McKinney, they've got Cooper, who's shown a lot of flashes, and as long as he can stay healthy, they've got, what, Evan Williams, I believe that's his name. Mm-hmm. But you look at Quay Walker, nobody really knows. You look at, obviously, this Wilson guy is gone. McDuffie should probably be more of a special teams guy. You know, Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark,
they've basically been stealing money. I'm not the biggest Rashawn Gary guy, but like to say he's not a legitimate NFL starter is going too far. Like, the guy's a starter in the
is he playing like a star
like the way he's getting
paid? Is he playing up to his contract? No.
We can have that discussion.
Right,
sure.
Is he playing up to his money? Right.
No, he's not, but he's a starter. Like, he's a legitimate player in this league. If the Packers cut him, somebody's picking him up.
Sure, but there is a lot of average starters that are out there in the NFL. And the Packers, unfortunately, especially defensively, have a lot of them. So instead of addressing those, they go and really address these two positions where they really didn't have that real need. There's more of a need for defensive line and wide receiver than there was for a offensive lineman that you look at the quote-unquote experts say that they overpaid.
Right. What's a defensive lineman they should have got? Who's a defensive lineman they should have gone out that would be a starter day one right away?
I will say that they could have gotten Grady Jarrett for less than what the Bears signed him for that would have been able to help Kenny Clark and plug up the middle. Especially losing DJ Slayton to, I think, Seattle, wherever he went. That's one guy.
Cincinnati, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cincinnati, again. Right. Okay, whatever. So, I mean, you talk about it. I kind of look at it as, you know, since you talked about the Bucks, when the Bucks had young guys and they were coming up trying to win, you know, they went and signed a guy like Jason Terry or a guy like Zaza Pachulia. Like, you know, not guys that are superstars, but guys that are showing these young guys how to win.
But I don't want to tell you how to make comparisons. I don't think Zaza Pachulia is the one you want to be making the example here. Zaza Pachulia, it's not like Zaza Pachulia got the Bucks over the top.
Gabe, the point is, when you have a young team, you need to get guys in there that show you how to be professional and show you how to win. I'm just talking about guys that have had experience in the league that came in. It's the same thing with the Brewers when they had your Fielders and your Hardys. They brought in Mike Cameron and they brought in Jason Kendall to show the team how to win. But the Packers, they get rid of these guys that are going for the next contract, and they cross their fingers hoping that these guys in the draft are going to turn out to be good. And if they're not good, well, we'll just let them go and we'll try it again. Well, in the meantime, these other teams have young players too, but they're filtering in older guys that have been established in the league throughout the course of their career. That is the difference that I think a lot of Packer fans are frustrated with, is that, you know, they want to be versatile and they want to get guys that are versatile, but yet these versatile players aren't filling some of the drastic needs that we all see when we watch the Packers every Sunday.
Yeah, the free agent market didn't dictate who was actually available to the Packers. Like, the free agent market at wide receiver was terrible. We talked about it before free agency. After Devontae Adams, steep drop-off to older players who are less productive than Devontae. And, yes, DK Metcalf became available via trade, but the wide receiving core, not very good. Same thing with, like, the defensive line. Like, okay, do you want to take a crack at Chase Young, who ended up re-signing with New Orleans? I mean, the guy hasn't exactly been productive. If we're going to, you know, get after LVN and get after Rashawn Gary for not having double-digit sacks, it's not like there was somebody out there that was waiting to be a double-digit sack guy. I guess I don't have a problem with what Goody has done in free agency, because he's gone out and gotten two starters. Like, those two guys are going to be starters for this team in 2025. And I understand that maybe you didn't feel they needed an offensive lineman, but they needed to fill somewhere because Josh Myers left. Probably tells you how they feel about Jacob Monk after 1 year. The fact that they drafted a center last year and they're not plugging him in, instead it's going to be Elgton Jenkins. They needed a cornerback, and who knows what's going to happen with Jaire Alexander at this point. I still assume he is going to be released, but you needed depth at that position. You lost Eric Stokes, who goes out to Vegas, so you replace him with that other guy, with Hobbs, who's going to presumably be a starter based on the money that you gave him.
Wes?
What's wrong with that?
I mean, Hobbs and who's the guy that they signed from San Francisco?
Aaron Banks.
What's his name again?
Aaron Banks.
I mean, you think Banks is at the position, you think Banks is going to be better than what Josh Myers was last year? At the position that they play?
Based on the money that the league is telling you that he is significantly better. Josh Myers and what he got versus Banks and what he got. Yes. Whether or not it was a hole that needed to be filled. Like, they filled it with a starter.
Didn't they just draft the guy to fill a hole last year that didn't really play? I mean, wasn't Jordan Morgan supposed to be that guy?
Well, yeah, he got hurt. But you need 6 or 7 offensive linemen. We saw that quickly, how quickly that can fall off in the playoff game. That you need more than just the five guys that you have starred.
They had like 8 offensive linemen last year. It's like they keep recycling the same thing over and over and over again. But yeah, we're supposed to justify it because they signed this average guy to a contract that only he would get, that he only got in Green Bay. Like, I don't understand the fact of not addressing the needs, the actual needs. Wide receiver was a need. Defensive lineman is a need.
Other than Devontae, who do you think would have been perfect for this team?
I mean, hell, you talked about it earlier today, and they talked about it yesterday. I mean, go out and Cooper Kupp is better than anybody that you have on the team right now.
Yeah, but Cooper Kupp's going to play 8 games.
Get a guy like that.
Cooper Kupp's playing 8 games.
Christian, well, you know what? Those 8 games are going to be better than what you've got with Jaden Reed and Wicks and Bull Melton and, you know, whoever else you've got.
I'm not allowing any slander of Bull Melton. That's my guy. he's my Zaza Pachulia. Wes, I love you, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, see you guys.
But that's the problem with Cooper Kupp. Like, he doesn't actually improve your team. He's going to improve it when he's out there.
Right. I think you're both my friends. I'm going to side with you on this because argument about the fact that the market did not have the players that would have appealed to you at the positions of need. I think that's a fair, very fair argument. Josh Myers' PFF grade, which I'm not saying is the end-all, be-all, I always deliver that caveat, was 55.3. Aaron Banks's PFF grade was 65.4. 65.4 is not an elite overall grade. It is 50th among 135 guards they graded. So and I'm not saying this is the only way to examine his play. He's also going to be 28 years old during this season. So it's not like he's Xavier McKinney, who you got at age 25. But that seems like a lot of money for a guy who ranked 50th. That is outside. That is toward that is at the bottom quartile. If every team has 2 starting guards, that is at the bottom quartile of the 64 starting guards in the league, right? So,
correct.
I think you can argue that it feels like an overpay, but again, not a strong class of guard either in free agency, and you had to get somebody.
But also, Jason, the contract they signed him to is essentially a 1-year deal.
Correct. I think they probably keep him for 2, and then they say, okay, this guy's... I mean,
correct,
$29 million guaranteed is a hard... That's a hard number to walk away from after 1 year.
Mm-hmm. But they could, if he's not good enough, they could walk away from it.
Yeah. I'm just glad we mentioned Zaza Pachulia. That made me happy.
I did not see a Zaza mention coming.
That was a twist.
What is Jesse...
Ersan Ilyasova. I mean, if you would have said Ersan, like that guy.
Dan Gadzarich.
All fun names. Matthew Dellavedova. Jesse, I don't think any of those players have projections for tonight on Prize Picks, but maybe I'm wrong.
I can check. I do know there's a lot of college basketball on the board. And of course, the time that Tausch doesn't ask me for help yesterday, 4 for 4 in the evening session last night. I got to hit the big fella up today because I don't know if he's paying attention when he's down in St. Louis, but I'll let him know that Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks, the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states. The app is really easy to use. It's easy for me to use, but it's also easy for Tausch to use, which actually says a lot. To create a lineup, all you have to do is pick more or less on a few player stats for your shot to win up to 1,000 times your money. Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching sports. Join over 10 million users and sign up today. Combine your favorite basketball players with players from baseball, hockey, esports, much more. The second half of the basketball season is here, but of course the tournament and all the action going on for the conference tournaments, the big tournament next week. That's what you want to take advantage of right now. The best place to cash in on your favorite sports. Don't miss your chance to cash in as the league's best fight for playoff positioning, for tournament positioning. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code WI. Prize Picks. Ready, Jason?
Run
your
game. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.